back to Black and Right with John Anthony and Charles Love on AM 560. The Answer.
Welcome back to Black and Right, AM 560, The Answer, Black and Right on Facebook Live. So earlier, I was talking to Brian Mullins about the teacher strike, and we talked about where the money would come from, why they're striking, what's in it for minority students. But it was mostly the fiscal and the operational aspect. But my next guest wants to talk about it from a different perspective. I'm pleased to be joined by Latasha Fields. She is the founder of Christian Home Educators Support System and co-founder and overseer of Our Report Ministries and Publications. Latasha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I know you are the authority on homeschooling and all things education. So when I reached out to you and say, hey, you want to come on and talk about the teacher strike, and needless to say, you were a bit fiery. So why don't you fill the listeners into your thoughts?
Yeah, so when you originally text me and you abbreviated CTU, honestly, this morning I had no idea what you were talking about. And so, and from that, I text you that, like, what is CTU? And so I was prompted by the spirit to immediately begin to just brainstorm my thoughts in terms of the LGBT curriculum that's happening, not just in Illinois, but in a couple other states, especially what the parents are experiencing in California. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm taking my notes and I'm just praying to God and I'm just typing all these things down, I go on Facebook, and so immediately in my news feed, somebody's talking about the teacher strike. So I'm reading the notes, and then I see the abbreviation CTU. So I said, oh, that's what he was talking about, the Chicago's Teachers Union. And so I responded back to you that I figured out what it was. But as you stated, I am coming from a different perspective on the other aisle, if you will. My heart is to pose a few questions to the teachers in the city of Chicago and the parents primarily, which of course most of our teachers are parents, from a more of a Christian perspective and a pro parental rights stand. And so as we look at the teachers striking the last 2 days, my first question then will be, where was the strike or the petition or even the voices raised publicly when Governor Pritzker passed the LGBT mandate to begin to teach such perverse indoctrination to our children? Where was that protest? Mm-hmm. Because for me, I'm a teacher. I'm a home educator. I've been teaching my children for 13 years, and I have a school. I teach other kids as well. And so that's why my position is mainly for the Christians. The secular groups, organizations, the world, the devil's going to do what he do. But the Christians, as a teacher and you're a believer of God, your first priority is the souls of children, not the ABCs and the 1-2-3s. So my second question will be, is the protesting for the children's soul, is that a priority?
Right.
Should parents protest their right to opt their children out of such perverse teaching? Would the teachers even support the parents? Would the parents support the teachers? Would you support each other? Would your protest have a right to, do you protest to stop having a right to teach such abominable indoctrination to children? Do you as teachers feel you have a right to do it? Mm-hmm. Do you feel you have a right to expose other people's children to such perverse teaching? And you do according to the law, because 1 Corinthians, I'm talking to Christians, 1 Corinthians 6:12, which there's many scriptures, says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I would not be brought under the power of any. Would you support parental rights in terms of not the overruling and the demonically indoctrination of molesting children's minds and soul by government and school officials? Would you support that? Would you support, or is your fight, you want new books? Do you not understand that this LGBT history is going to be in the new books? Is that what you want? Is this the type of education we want for our children? Is this not going against the word of God, your values and your beliefs? Is this not worth fighting for as well?
And what do you think they'll say to some of those
academics,
questions?
I'm sorry?
I said, what do you think they'll say to some of those questions? Or have you posed them to any of the teachers you know?
I would love to hear from them. Yeah, I would love to hear from many of them. Because then my question would be, is the academic achievement as a Christian, is that more important than the souls of these children? And then when you stand before the Lord, Chicago public teacher and Chicago public parent, when you stand before the Lord one day, what are you going to tell him? It was my job. It was my career to teach against you. Will you stand before him with the innocent blood of these children on your hands because you partook in such blasphemy? Is that what you're going to tell the Lord? Or will you stand before him blameless, only stained with your blood because you was persecuted for righteousness? Who do you seek to please, the teachers union or God? Those are the questions I have for the Christian public teachers and the Christian parents.
Now, I would say, I would guess and say, well, maybe they'll just say, well, I get what you're saying, but operationally, it's not for me to say. I mean, my management, they put all the rules in place, but then that would go out the window because they're literally striking to get more teachers and, I mean, more nurses, smaller classrooms, and all these other operational things. So if they can strike on the one hand about operations, they should be able to strike about the curriculum. But what would you say to those who say, well, I think if you want to talk morality and morals, I think it's moral to strike to have these certain staffing levels. I think it's immoral to have a school where there's only a part-time nurse, a school where there's library but no librarians. What would you say to those teachers?
I was saying you're absolutely right, but this is what the Lord dealt with me this morning. If you're going to fight for the weightier matters, you got to put priorities first. Because evil prevails on all sides, injustice is on all sides. But the Bible speaks on this wise. We must measure the weight of our circumstance and our issues that affects the righteousness of God first, not what fits in the parameter of the world's view. Because, see, if what God is showing me and what I see through the word of God, that the plumb line that God is speaking about and the attacks that are coming is first and foremost against him. So you have to begin to measure and weigh your priorities in life. It's not that you should not fight for the nurses and the libraries and the books and all these things, but you have to weigh the weightier matters. And again, I say, the weightier matters are the souls of the children. It is not pleasing to God to just only publicly, if that's how you're going to fight, if you're going to publicly fight, if you're going to swing and publicly fight against the injustices that are happening on an academic level, well, you have to even more so fight as a believer for the injustices that's happening to their souls.
Right.
So it's not about not fighting for those things. That's fine. I don't have anything to do with that. Fight for those things. But when he passed the law in early August, where was your picketing then? Where was your picketing and your justice that children should not be exposed to such perverted teaching? We have to put the plumb line of our faith in order. Righteousness precedes all things if you're going to say you're a believer. If you're a Christian, that means, of course, there's many forms of Christianity, unfortunately. But if you're going to be a Bible-believing Christian, well, that means you're a disciple of Christ. And that means your first priority is to operate in the mind of God, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is the acceptable will of God. And teaching is a gift from God. And God is never sanctioning children to be indoctrinated with dogma. He's never okay with that. So if you got to be persecuted for righteous sake, well, that's what needs to happen then.
Wow. Well, you started off the segment talking about the law, but also talking about L.A., and we know they have some crazy things there. My good friend Sonia Schmidt is working on pushing back against that stuff in California as well, which is why we're putting together something for education. So from a larger standpoint, biblical worldview versus the secular worldview, how do we, you know, kind of go up against this thing? Because it's such a, what are your thoughts on how it's an onslaught and it's everywhere? So you got this thing with Princeton, the thing in L.A., in L.A., but you got, in Texas, you got libraries that have drag queens coming to read children's books to kids. You have, you know, this big push 2020 celebrating 9-year-old drag queens and things of that nature. We're pushing the end of gender. Obama threatened to take education money from public schools if they did not have transgender bathrooms in the schools. So this is a bigger movement, obviously, than just Pritzker. So what do you think? Where do we go, those Christians that do want to push back against it? What do you think that the avenue to do that should be?
Well, I think at this point, because we're in the end times, I think the reformation of the public school system is a dead carcass at this point. And so I believe what conservatives and Christians need to do, the church needs to wake up first and foremost. Parents and the church simultaneously need to wake up. And to me, the only real solution is for us to take our children out by the droves. And you can't just, you know, you have many advocacy to take them out, but then where are they going to take them, Charles? Where are they going to take them? And so the church needs to get in position, get in a biblical position, and stop worshiping men in places and see to the real need. They need to see what God sees. And God loves family. And God cares about these children. I care about these children. You know, it breaks my heart that so many of us that say we love God and that we believe on God's word, you know, sit back in whatever capacity, because I know there's so many things going on. And we're sitting back and seeing what the enemy is doing to our children. So many parents feel helpless that they can't do anything. Where are they going to send their children? Because I'm a firm believer children need to be educated. God is a believer of that. We ought to diligently teach our children. Children need to be literate. They need to understand mathematical and all these concepts. That is Bible. See, we call it education in our New Age terms, but God called it wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There's many examples in the Bible where children were homeschooled and they were taught, diligently taught the things of God, taught math, etc. So we understand that our children need to be structured and taught, but parents need to have a right to choose these things. So if we can't pull them out by the droves, what needs to be done, then legislators and parents and teachers and everybody needs to be aware of, watch these people that you put in office, these elective officials, demand that parents have rights to these things. If you want to teach this in the school system, teach it. Go ahead. Teach it if you want to teach it. But give parents the right to opt their children out of such perverse teaching.
Right.
Because schools should not be about, you know, distorting God's order. You know, gender neutrality. That is not what education is. Homosexuality is a belief system, Charles. That's a whole other religion. And at the end of the day, those people have a right to believe whatever they want. That's their belief. If they believe there's something other than what their biological sex states to them, that's them. That's you. That's fine. And I have my belief. I believe God made a male and female. So that's a belief system. And that should not be imposed on anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why parents should have a right. They have a right to opt their children out, especially talking about kindergarten. Why mm-hmm. should they be exposed to those?
I don't even know how that would come up in kindergarten, to be honest. Regardless of your views on it, how does that come up, right? It's amazing. So basically what you're saying is that the focus should be on maintaining your rights, regardless of what you believe. When you give the government that much control, you're losing your rights. So the parental control goes to all the rights. You need to maintain your rights, and you need to be aware so you can hold your legislators accountable, correct?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, that's what, you know, I was listening to Mullins and, you know, I've talked to you several times. I mean, we got to understand the political climate has a lot to do with the issues and policies that we all see the ill wills from. You know, this wickedness that we're seeing, you know, this whole thing of hating Trump, just the whole proliferal things that we're seeing, we have to really take a real voter education and understand that we need to really look at our political system, and many of us are. But that stuff is rolling down. So from a biblical perspective, what would you call the political system? We call that principality.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call it, spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible teaches us this as Christians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these principalities. So we get talking about government and we throw all these New Age words around. God is saying principality. That's what the problem is. And until we can deal with that and see that, then we're never going to iron these things out.
Right.
And then secondly, establishing parental rights from a political perspective, the churches must get in position, not in position where you go rent a building and you have people gathering to come for you to preach to on Sunday. I'm not talking about that crap, okay, because a building is not the church of God. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The actual human beings need to be fed the word of God. Mm-hmm. You can meet under a tree. It doesn't matter. The church needs to get in position.
They need to get involved.
Say God called you. They need to get involved and positioned. That's what I mean. They need to get involved and understand that if God has blessed you with real estate and you have the capacity to house and to do this, then you need to reach out to somebody and find out, how can you help the congregation? How can you help members? I've been saved over 16 years. I have seen countless situations in time. People go to church Sunday and Wednesday, you pray for the children, you lay hands on, and you turn right back around and send them into those demonic institutions. Children are in public education over 15,000 hours, and they're getting 2 to 3 hours of church on Sunday. And that's if their parents are really saved and teaching them anything.
Right.
These children are not being rooted in biblical principles. And again, I say, church is not the place. It's not the geographical location that we drive to. The church is the body of Christ. We gather in particular places. And God is okay with that. We can gather anywhere, but we need to put our focus back on mankind. These families need help, Charles.
Right.
These children are in danger.
Latasha Field, chess up. In the last minute here or so, can you tell us more about, you know, tell the people about your school, your homeschooling piece, what you do, and how they can get involved?
Yeah, so I have a school. It's called Kaiju Group Christian Academy. We've been running the private school for 12 years, but I've been homeschooling 13 years. So Chess Up is Christian Home Education Support System. And so that's our organization, where we help and advocate and facilitate other parents in terms of being their support system, in terms of start homeschooling their children. So I got them through whatever the legal ramifications is in dropping their children from the public school, which in Illinois is very flexible. It's a no-brainer here, you know, in spite of the political climate. And so just walking them through that, introducing them to curriculum, and we meet every Wednesday, and we just have all kinds of tons of classes for our children that we teach. And so the school, I have 10 students total. And so, you know, we run a private school in my home, in my basement, you know, and I teach an accredited Christian curriculum. And so what I'm talking now, what I say now, I live and breathe it. And so we have parental meetings every month where I meet the parents. I keep them abreast as much as I can on what's happening legally. Mm-hmm. But our first and foremost obligation is making sure that we're accountable to the word of God when it pertains to our children.
So
because we want our children literate. We want them successful. We want them to prosper. But more importantly, we want them to be rooted in the faith of Jesus Christ.
In the last seconds here, why don't you give the people your website and information so if they wanted to contact you, they can?
Yes, definitely. The website is www.chessup.org, and you can email me at info@chessup.org, and you can call me, 773-814-6843.
Well, I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on in short notice. That is Latasha Fields, founder of Christian Home Educator Support System, ChessUp. Thank you for joining us here on AM 560 The Answer.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. So that was two different ways we looked at the educational piece in this strike, one from the operational standpoint, one from a biblical standpoint. All of it says that there's a problem. So, you know, that was the point here today. You know, I started off, if you didn't catch the first hour, talking about my trip to former communist Europe. And how the people there yearned to be free, rose up against it, had a kind of peaceful break. They didn't have all of the things that Hong Kong is dealing with now. But nevertheless, 30 years later, they are celebrating the fact that they have moved further and further away from it. What I didn't realize until I went there. So we took a train from each city. So when we took the train from the Czech Republic to Austria, when you hit that country, you know, there's no stop. But you can look out the window and see the difference, right? You see the difference in the landscape, the size of the homes and things of that nature. And it turned out that Austria quietly had the second largest economy in Europe. And a lot of that has to do with their successful move away from communism. So I led with that because it's important to know that as they are celebrating 30 years of being away from that, and how freedom and capitalism and democracy has lifted them up, we, the beacon of freedom around the world, are being pushed in the opposite direction. You know, we have people in political office, you know, your AOC, your Maxine Waters, the Squad, and others, and people running for the highest office who are saying the only way to make this between semi-okay to horrible country, depending on which one you talk to. To make it better, or in Trump's terms, to truly make it great again, we need to move to a more egalitarian kind of government. So even if, again, back to my premise of giving them their argument, even if you believe that's the way we should go, equality is good, let's make this equality happen, I understand and I write about how human nature says you'll never get it. But even if that's your goal, the problem is who gets to dictate what the equality is? Who gets to say when it's fair and when it's not fair? Right? So to some, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, for example, if I take from people who are wealthy and give that money to someone else, I'm making things more equal. But that guy doesn't think it's equal, right? When I have a school that is successful in a landscape of Chicago with many failing schools, and only a few people can get into that school, how are you going to get equality? If you got five successful schools and 10 failing schools, every student can't get in those five schools, right? So most would say the solution should be to improve the other 10 schools. But what they really say is, no, we need to just, we only got five good schools. We can't do anything about the other 10 that lost. What we can do to make equality is to take some of the white kids out of their school and bring some black and brown kids into school to even out the ratio. That's what, isn't that what Bill de Blasio's doing in New York? Right? They had these elite schools where your admission was based solely on your academics, how well you perform. And they decided, he decided there weren't enough black and brown students, so something needed to be done. But he didn't tell anybody that the majority of the students weren't white, they were Chinese. But it didn't matter. We needed black and brown students, so let's kick out the Chinese students to make room for the black and brown students. So when they protested, they said, all right, fine. I do have control of the operations of the school, so my solution is going to be the school will no longer use academics as the main requirement for admission. But forget about whether you think it's right or wrong and it evens the mix. Won't that inevitably, after a certain amount of time, bring down the quality of the school? Because before, the school had the elite of the elite in the city, no matter where they came from. All of the smartest kids gravitated to these schools and made it strong, made it a rock. Now you're going to chip away at that in the interest of different colors in the hallway. So we want, and I want my black students to achieve, but I want to do it by helping them get better, not by bringing down the level of everyone who's doing well. So that's what we need to focus on. That's what this show was about how the Democrats care about people, I assume positive intent, but their efforts to fix things and make things better is only bringing everybody down. My term for that is negative equality. Let's not bring everybody else up. Let's just bring the people up here down to their level. Then everybody's equal. Everybody's just poorly equal. Thanks for joining us today. You've been listening to Black and Right on AM 560, The Answer. And I will see you and talk to you again next week.